Hey, welcome to the FinTech Newscast. My name's John, and with me, as always, is my co-host, Steve. How are you doing?
Hey, John, I'm always here. Always reliable. How are you?
Yes, that's true. Through anything, through pandemic, through riots, you've been able to stick around.
That's right. I'm like a cockroach.
Yeah. And is TikTok going to be that durable? I see that there's a lot of pressure on them due to their Chinese roots.
Yeah, it's a lot of stuff going on with TikTok. So they were banned by India, along with, I think, 50 plus other apps as well. There's talk in the US about banning them as well. I think there's a combination of valid security concerns, but also some Sinophobia as well. But it's interesting how we see sort of the overlap now between consumer technology and foreign policy, right?
Yeah, and some companies have been in and out and banning TikTok or not banning them. Amazon had a release, and then they said they did that by mistake to remove TikTok from company-owned apps. And then yep. I saw Wells Fargo actually did announce, or at least it was in the news, that they were asking people to remove it. Yeah, but it's funny how these consumer-level things are national security things. I mean, that would never have been the case a few years ago, even.
Yeah, the only analog that I can think of in the consumer space is actually Strava, the sort of bicycle tracking app as well, which was banned by a lot of the military because people were using it to publish their workouts on Strava, and that was a way to find where maybe there was some forced deployment by U.S. troops, right, where some U.S. troops were stationed based on movement in the Strava app.
Oh, wow, that's very directly related.
Huh. Yeah, the only difference here is that Strava is a U.S. company, not a Chinese one, so.
Well, fortunately for us this week, we're lucky enough to have Paresh Patel, the founder and CEO of PayRange. How are you doing, Paresh?
Hi, happy to be here.
Yeah, glad you can make it. No shortness of breath, no fever. You're okay?
Nope, doing good. Just working from home.
Good. Glad to hear it. Thanks for joining us. And why don't we start off, just tell us a little bit about PayRange and what they do.
Great. So PayRange is a mobile payment solution for small ticket transactions. These are things that people purchase on a routine, high frequency basis, such as vending, laundry, car washes, things of that sort.
Oh, okay. So it gets rid of all these like little change, little expenses that aren't really economical, like to break out the American Express card kind of things.
Yeah, we literally take the coin out of coin laundry and vending. Using our technology, millions of consumers use their mobile phone to send payment to wash their clothes, purchase a bottle of water, or like I said, wash their car. We literally bring a centuries-old industry, the automated retail industry, into the digital age.
Do most of your customers find you based on getting the app first, or do they go to a vending machine, see the sticker, and then they get the app?
The vast majority of our consumers, something like 99%, actually acquire the PayRange app when they're standing in front of the machine. And this is fascinating because when I was originally pitching this idea to investors years ago, one of the biggest objections that I heard from investors were they were like, no one's going to stand in front of a machine and download an app to buy a Diet Coke. And the reality was most of these investors aren't vending machine users, and they have no idea what goes through the mind of a vending machine user. If somebody, and believe me, I've been on the customer side of this and had to take a lot of support calls for this, but when a machine is out of Diet Coke and a customer wants Diet Coke, they will do anything to get that Diet Coke. And so similarly, if they are a quarter short and they need that Diet Coke, they're going to download the app and they're going to do it. And especially if they are at that work site where they're buying it every day or every week or some higher frequency, it's a one-time download. And then it makes every future purchase much more convenient and faster. Long story short, yes, most of our consumers come to us when they're actually standing in front of the machine.
Yeah, that's funny how people often project out just their own narrow experience. You know, there's a, you don't have to be a customer for something to, of something for it to succeed or not. Even if 5% of the population is your target market, that's still 15 million people. That's fine. I've heard this before with some fintechs. I've mentioned to people, and they've said, "Why would you ever do? Why would you ever do that? Why would you ever need to get your paycheck 2 days early or something like that? Go to the trouble and." Well, you're not the target market, but there's a dire need for that. For example, in a lot of places.
Are you using QR codes or NFC? What is the system that you use to make the payments?
Yeah, so good question. So what we do is we use the user's smartphone has an app. We call it obviously the PayRange app. The machine itself has a small USB dongle-like device that plugs into it, which the machine owner would plug into it. And then we talk to that using Bluetooth. So there's no real need for a QR code. You launch the app. It automatically finds the machine you're standing in front of. You make a gesture on the smartphone and it magically sends payment to the machine.
So we talked a lot on the show here about the ubiquity of QR codes to make small payments in China with a mobile app. Why, in your estimation, has something like this not taken off in the US or in North America? And how is PayRange sort of a different proposition of addressing a very similar problem?
Yeah, no, great question. So in fact, while even card payment in the US has been nearly ubiquitous in the retail segment, unattended retail has kind of been left behind. The majority of machines still only work with cash and coin. And the reason for that is to bring any kind of cashless payment to these machines, you literally required a network connection. And so, for example, if you were even to scan a QR code, how would you let the machine know that you actually scanned a QR code and you wanted to send payment? Well, about the only other way to do that would be kind of going over the air to the network and then back to the machine, which requires the machine to have a cellular modem in there. And that was one of the things that actually prevented widespread adoption was the fact that it was really expensive to connect every machine out there. And we kind of approach it a different way. We asked a simple question, and the genesis of our innovation was really, why connect the machine when the users are already connected? So in our solution, the users bring the network connectivity with their smartphone, they bring the user interface, they bring their credentials, and really the only thing we needed was a way to let the machine know that payment was authorized, and we do that over Bluetooth.
Oh, so then you just need some security to make sure not anybody can just hack it then.
Yeah, absolutely. So while this sounds very simple in principle, as you can imagine, it's very complicated to do from a secure standpoint. Because again, since the machine is kind of unconnected, you're relying on what that smartphone is telling you. So how do you know if what it's telling you is legit, if it's authorized actually? And so we developed a lot of proprietary technology to make that happen securely. And fortunately, we were issued a United States patent many years ago, probably 2014, I think. And with that, we basically kind of in one way kind of own this space of payment to unconnected machines.
It's not blockchain, is it? I'm just kidding.
No, it's not.
Yeah, it's really interesting. So I had an experience 2 weeks ago when I went camping that actually really, you know, where I could have benefited from having the PayRange app. The showers were coin operated. Luckily, like everyone else has a car, I keep coins in my car. But if I hadn't kept coins, I would have had a very long drive home covered in dirt from 3 days of camping. So it seems like a really unique customer proposition to build this. But it sounds like you're also making inroads in the laundry space as well, or with laundromats. Can you talk a little bit about that as well?
Yeah, no. The use case you mentioned is really interesting too. And I think the fact is that a lot of different things out there operate with coin that we oftentimes don't even just realize. But what it does is it limits the user's ability to make a transaction when they're short. And laundry is one of those big things. Actually, during COVID-19 pandemic that we're experiencing this year, we realized, and many machine owners and operators realized, how dependent they have been on that coin to run their business. And frankly, consumers became increasingly hesitant to use coin. And ironically, they wanted to do their laundry more. They wanted to wash their clothes and wash their bedding and wash everything that they have. And yet they were limited in coins. And for a period of time, it was even hard to get it, like going to a bank or whatnot, because the branches were closed. In apartment complexes where they might have had a change machine in the manager's office was closed. So it was really hard to come by the coin to do something that you wanted to do. And even more recently, just very recent, the Federal Reserve basically announced that there's a national coin shortage. And that's not because people are hoarding the coin. It's that the coin is actually not coming into circulation because people are not using the coin. Your shortage of coin users now.
There's so many odd spin-off effects from this this whole pandemic. It's just always surprising that some new, totally unexpected thing happens like that. But so not only is this convenient, but it solves this coin shortage problem. I've seen that a little bit in the news, and it's pretty, just like I said, surprising.
How would, what is the benefit for a vending machine operator to go with your product versus just having a credit card reader if they are, say, in a building with access to a network and with a power source and all that stuff?
Yeah, no, it's a great question. So what typically happens when a machine has a credit card reader, the machine owner has invested hundreds of dollars worth of hardware into that machine. They are paying for some type of network connectivity, usually cellular network connectivity. So, you know, there's a monthly cost to that. And then they're processing small ticket transactions that are like $1, $1.50, $1.75. And using the Visa MasterCard interchange rates, it's actually very, very expensive to process a small ticket transaction on a percentage basis because there's a fixed charge for every transaction. So typically what ends up happening is you see card readers on machines that are maybe the top 10 or 20% of the volume producer. So they'll be in the busier machines, but like maybe 80% of the machines out there won't have it. So where our solution comes in is that it doesn't require expensive hardware for the machine. It doesn't require that recurring network connectivity expense. And it doesn't have that small ticket transaction expense because we work like a wallet, much the same way like a Starbucks app works. You load in $10 or $25 and you make a number of purchases. So it's just a much more elegant and much more cost-effective approach to approach not just the top machines, but all your machines. And then one more thing is that we bring much more than payment to the machine. We bring marketing and promotion capabilities, an ability to reach the consumer with specials and things of that sort. That just would be very hard to do with a card reader.
So do 10 loads of laundry, get one free?
Absolutely. You can do stuff like that. And you can even bring a rich consumer experience, right? Like, for example, when you have mobile and you paid for the laundry, you can have a little timer that says, oh, you got 20 minutes left. Or if you run back to your apartment complex, get a push notification when your laundry's done. So you just get a much, much better user experience out of it.
That is awesome.
So what do you find to be some of the concerns that you have to overcome when you're approaching? I guess you have to go to individual laundromat owners. There's not like a national chain. These are all local places, right?
Yeah, so we've actually started out in a different part of the industry, which is called route laundry. And it was actually before we even got into the space, it was surprising how little I even knew about that space, in the sense that most people don't think about it. When you think about laundry, you think about laundromats. But really, there's this other side of the business called route laundry. And route laundry is the washers and dryers that are in like apartment complexes and dorms and stuff like that. And they're typically not run by the apartment owner. There's a company that runs them across all these different properties. They're a service provider. So what we did is we went to those companies, and those operators provide a scale because they could run 1,000 machines, 5,000 machines, 10,000 machines, and they go across a whole broad spectrum of properties, and it allows us to scale a lot faster.
Oh, so there is that opportunity to you're not doing one-offs and that sort of thing. How long does it take to install like a pay range on like 1,000 different machines? And I guess the software side is already set up, but you have to go to each machine and install this thing, yeah?
Yeah, exactly. That's where we kind of spent quite a bit of time to try to optimize on a vending machine. Believe it or not, if you've seen anybody open a vending machine, it has that little screw lock handle where you kind of sit there and unscrew it for like 10, 20 seconds. It actually takes longer to open and close a machine than to install a PayRange device inside. It literally is easy as plugging in a thumb drive. It takes about 5 to 10 seconds to find the wire, plug our device in, and you're ready to roll. There's no programming required or configuration required on the machine. It's plug and play. You'll fix a decal and you're done. You're ready. And that machine is upgraded. So we've made it so you could upgrade literally hundreds of machines in a day, a single installer could, which is, again, far above what anybody could do if they were trying to install a card reader. It's much more complicated to do that.
That's amazing. And from the machine vendor perspective, then they get paid, I guess, you settle the payments. Is it overnight or is it real time? How are they paid?
Yeah, so what we do is we settle the payments on a scheduled basis, but we also offer the ability for them to get payment instantly, which was a really neat feature we developed and launched somewhat in response to this COVID-19, when our machine owners started seeing some cash flow problems because they weren't able to go out to collect their money from their machines because the workplaces and things were either shut down or restricting access to them. Same with the properties for our laundry. And what we did is we developed a feature that the owner of the machine had a special feature in the app where they could literally push a button and get the money deposited directly to their debit card or checking account instantly. So that you could literally be standing in line at Costco and say, hey, I need 10 more cases of Coke, and collect the money and have that deposit before you got to the front of the line. So it's pretty neat.
What effects have you seen in terms of, you know, because this is, of course, a contactless payment method. But I'm wondering what sort of interesting changes have you seen in either your volume or the kind of transactions that you see, or what kind of data or insights have you gleaned from any sort of PayRange transactions?
One of the biggest things we saw was that consumers were very hesitant to touch the machine. So traditionally, vending and laundry, they're very high touch experiences. And so while you were sending payment through the mobile app, you could do that. You still had to push A1 on the machine to get your item. So you really haven't solved or alleviated the COVID-19 concerns. And so we started seeing demand for what we would call touch-free selection too. So not just touch-free payment, but also touch-free selection. And so we reached out to the key machine manufacturers because this would require a firmware change on the machine to accommodate. And we said, hey, there's a lot of demand out there from consumers wanting to purchase from machines, but not have to physically touch it. And we quickly built a coalition of the leading manufacturers. They agreed to upgrade their firmware, and most of them are offering that at no extra cost. And what it does is allows our solution now, in one easy step, they can identify the machine with the mobile app, select A1 in our app, and then initiate a purchase and not just grab their product and go, not actually even have to touch the machine itself. So that was one thing that was a direct result of COVID-19 demand that we saw.
That's fascinating. What is the most popular sort of COVID-19 snack? If you have access to that kind of data, I'm so curious.
we don't actually get the product sales data ourselves. We get all the transaction information, but that's aggregated to us, and our machine owners themselves actually see the actual item level transactions. We don't have privy to that.
So it's B3, Steve.
B3
has been the most popular.
Yeah.
Oh, Pop-Tarts. I love Pop-Tarts. Yeah. So, Paresh, you've been in this space for a while. What is your background? How did you come about this idea, this company, and this solution?
My background, I've spent my entire career in automated retail. I first started on the other side, which is the customer side. I founded, when I was back in high school, a vending machine company, started with one machine as a way to pay for school, and continued to grow that until it became one of the largest here in the Pacific Northwest. And fundamentally, I was getting frustrated with the lack of what I would call proper payment options for consumers. I saw that the consumers were becoming increasingly cashless, yet the machines were still cash and coin basis, and it required a big investment to upgrade all the machines, since I thought there had to be a better way. So I started working on that solution.
Wow, that's so funny. You started from scratch in vending machines, so you're the perfect person for this.
Yeah, it was really during that experience of running the company where I learned a lot about the machines, how they work, the protocols. I learned about the industry. I learned about how the customers think, and you know, even the business models and what would be required for a solution to be economical, or you know, at least the operator to be successfully deploying that solution. And so it gave me a lot of insights on all sides of the business, including the consumer side, because we had to deal with consumers. And you know, the PayRange company has been built on all of those experiences that I've had as an operator, and literally trying to solve some of our own problems.
Huh. So how long has PayRange been around?
So I initially founded the company in 2013, but the product itself launched in January of 2015.
Oh, tell me there was a good pivot story here.
There was a pivot story. So
I love a good pivot story.
So what I did was I initially spent the first part building the solution, leveraging, I wanted to build a mobile app solution, but I built it using a box that required a cellular modem. So we built it. It was a small little box that plugged inside the machine, but it still required cellular connectivity. And as we were testing it in the field, I didn't sell any of these. We were doing our own testing, but had the whole solution working end to end. I just realized one day, I'm like, wait, this doesn't solve everything that I was trying to solve for. It still requires a cellular connectivity. And that's the thing, that's the reoccurring expense that we need to solve for. And so I tossed the whole solution and then kind of started thinking through things again. And it was probably another month or two after that where I actually came up with the idea for this solution.
Oh, love it. Yeah. Yeah. You got to keep flexible.
Well, you got to keep your eye on what you're actually trying to solve for too. Sometimes you get so focused, as I did, on building a product that you actually lose sight of what the problem you're actually trying to solve for.
Yeah. Yeah. You see that with people that say, well, we're not like, like an airline company. We're like in the people transportation business. And if there's something, you know, more interesting, we'll move to that. That solves the problem better.
Yeah.
Because we're about that, not the specific hardware or anything like that.
Yeah, not exactly how you're going to do it, but what are you trying to do?
Right, right. So how far along are you? This has been a few years. You're all across the country. Are you international?
Yeah, so we are across the entire U.S. And Canada. We're in about 350 cities and towns. We're probably the largest network of its kind, hundreds of thousands of machines enabled with PayRange, millions of users. We've processed, you know, a couple hundred million transactions out there. So it's getting a pretty good scale now.
Yeah, yeah, that's a pretty good scale already. So what's the next step? Are you guys IPO? Are you still raising money? And related question, part B, is what would be the next step in development for PayRange?
We're continuing to build the company. We're not out seeking funds right now. We've got plenty of cash flow and capital to continue building the company of where we're at. We're continuing to go deeper in the verticals that we are, which is vending and laundry, amusement, things of that sort. But really quickly on our horizon, we'll be expanding into other verticals, also expanding into other countries. And those are kind of the two major ways that we'll continue to expand what we're doing.
Is there anything stopping you from using the same technology for other higher dollar volume or higher dollar amount purchases, like say just a restaurant or a coffee shop?
I bought a car with my PayRange account.
Yeah, so, we actually are looking into getting into what we call the non-automated retail type transactions, but still high frequency. So things like coffee shop, things like other cash transactions that people would interface with regularly, like for example, paying service providers or food carts or at stadiums where you might be paying the hawkers that go down the aisles, things that we can leverage our technology for, where we think our sweet spot is being able to make payment within a physical proximity, but not having to actually have physical contact. So you don't need to be close to each other. You could be 3 to 6 feet away. You could be 20 feet away. Send payment from a distance without actually having to share any personal information between the parties. So our solution is secure, but it doesn't require the parties to exchange name or phone number or email or anything like that, or even the payment credentials themselves. We're kind of a firewall for the financial credentials and a firewall for the personal identity. And so we, in a lot of ways, carry the same benefits that you would have if you were making cash payment, but yet in a digital form.
That is so interesting. So I'm going to name names here, I'm going to name names here rather.
Okay.
So a few weeks ago, I purchased some beer from my local brewery. And then about a day later, I get some marketing emails. I'm like, how did they get my marketing? How did they get my email address? And what happened is that Square had somehow tracked down my email address, linked it to my card, and then had given it to the merchant so they could then spam my email inbox with offers, which I thought was sort of a betrayal of my confidence. And I didn't know that actually I had a Square profile online that I had to go enter and say, do not email me again. Because it seems like, again, kind of a misuse of my personal information. So I love that you're doing this in a way that there's no data being handled or passed back and forth between the vending machine operator and the end consumer.
Yeah, I think that one of the things you look at when people pay for cash, what is the reason they're paying with cash? Sometimes it's convenience. Sometimes it's just because that's what they've always done. But a lot of times there's another intrinsic reason, and oftentimes it's because they don't trust the merchant, either with their personal information or they don't trust them with their card information or whatnot. And so what we're trying to do is provide the benefits of digital payments, but also try to keep some of the key fundamentals of the benefits of cash payment, which are things like anonymity and things of that sort.
Yeah, this becomes so much more of a concern, which is addressed with something like Apple Pay, where they just have a one-time number and the vendor never really sees the information. And we've seen with so many data breaches and privacy violations that this kind of a higher standard really and security of people's information really needs to be in place.
Precisely. So like, especially in the case of unattended retail, because there have been cases actually over the last few years, even those card readers that are on the vending machines or the transit ticketing machines have been kind of hacked with skimmers. And so people, you know, there's nobody watching those machines. They're unattended retail by definition. And so when you have something on the machine, somebody can come up, put a skimmer on there, and as you swipe your card, it's actually recording your card number. And so because of that, consumers in some cases have become even reluctant to swipe a card on something that's unattended, like a vending machine or whatnot. And with our solution, the machine actually never sees the card number. It's never presented to the machine. It's all tokenized, just like you mentioned other solutions have done. And so it's a very secure way to send information.
Yeah, I think I've actually made it a point now too. Whenever I get gas, just go inside and pay for it with the guy inside and not use the machine, because I'm just so scared of the card readers at the gas stations.
It's growing in number in terms of the number of people who have those types of concerns, and the more breaches and hacks that are out there cause more concern for consumers. I think sometimes these machine owners and the merchants that run these types of payments solutions, they underestimate how much consumer concern is around these things. There's more consumer concern around protecting privacy in their payment methods than merchants sometimes are willing to acknowledge.
Yeah, for sure. This is a significant issue. But in the general world of fintech, are there any things that get you excited that you've been seeing developing that you think are really interesting?
Well, I think that overall, yeah, when we look in the space of payment, there's a lot of innovation going around on payment. And a lot of this has to do with things around security. And I think there are payment solutions coming out for, you know, virtually everything out there, from cross-border payments to B2B payments to instant payments to whatnot. And we're just fascinated by all types of different solutions out there that help improve being able to do commerce or transactions between parties. And that's obviously our space as well, but we pay a lot of attention to what's being developed out there and try to leverage whatever we can into the small ticket space. And the reason we think the small ticket space has been left behind is because it's, you know, somewhat unsexy. It's not as it's not the Bitcoin or the blockchain or cryptocurrency things that people talk about. But on the flip side, it's a huge, huge percentage of the actual transactions that happen. They say the Federal Reserve says nearly 60% of cash transactions are for transactions $10 and less. So this small ticket space is quite large.
Yeah, that's where the need is for day-to-day life these days, I guess. Yes. And you're doing a much better job, congratulations, by the way, than Bitcoin as far as replacing cash.
Yeah, we hope so.
you're actually out there, and they're still struggling along.
Exactly.
And we're glad you're taking care of this one. I mean, nobody likes the hassle of scrounging around for coins, or that dreaded, you're short just like one nickel.
Yeah.
For the thing you want to buy. Yeah, that's, it seems like it just happens to you, but trust me, it happens to everybody.
Yep.
So we hope this kind of solution, and that you guys keep doing well. So what would you want to happen in the next year? What would be success for PayRange? You mentioned some international, some expansion.
We're focused on trying to just increase the number of places that people can do a PayRange transaction. So everything, we want to be there everywhere you might use a cash transaction. We want to be that. So when we're as ubiquitous as cash acceptance, if you will. And so anywhere that you would want to use cash, you can use your PayRange app to do it and not have to worry about actually having cash or coin in your pocket.
Awesome.
Great. Yeah. No, it sounds like a great solution. And keep up the good work, especially with contactless in this age of COVID-19. Hopefully that even helps stop the spread of the virus or any other disease a little bit. So keep it up. And thanks for joining us on the podcast.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah, that's Paresh Patel, the founder and CEO of PayRange. Please hit subscribe to keep up with this and the latest in fintech news, and we'll see you next week.